Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What is up, everybody? It's episode 50 of the Sean Salisbury Show here on the Believe Network. And it's a big episode. The Super Bowl is set. We got the Chiefs and the Eagles. We've got the Kelce brothers. We got Andy Reid versus old team. We've got a young, exciting quarterback in Jalen Hurts trying to break through, and Mahomes trying to get that second Super Bowl. Right now, Philly is a 1.5-point favorite. The over-under is 50. I think those will move over the next, you know, week and a half or so that we still have until the game. But that's not the only NFL news we got, Sean. We've got plenty to talk about today. And we probably won't even get much into the Super Bowl breakdown yet because, like I said, we have a week and a half. Yeah,
right.
Too early. You know, we'll talk about the games that happened this past Sunday. We'll talk about the big retirement that just happened today. We'll talk about the coaching changes that we've now seen, and we still have two teams without coaches. And then some quarterback movement. What could we see this coming offseason? But as always, we're brought to you by Bet Online.
Yeah, with basketball back and Bet Online still remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup, the information, the player news, and game trends at BetOnline. And as your continued source for sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contest, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports and events, whether it's the NBA or NFL, NHL or MMA, tennis, boxing, and even golf. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus and your first with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, BELIEVE, to receive your rewards. Bet Online, where the game starts.
As always, thank you to Bet Online. All right, Sean, let's start with the games before we get into the quarterback. The quarterbacks, the coaches. Let's start with the games. Let's start 23-20. Chiefs beat the Bengals. The officials were a mess. I thought Joe Burrow kind of looked like a mess at points in the game, but then he looked really damn good. Patrick Mahomes is a wizard out there. And, you know, I think the part of the game that I don't think a lot of people have talked about for the Kansas City Chiefs all season is how good Isaac Pacheco and Jerick McKinnon have been out of that backfield, either catching the ball or running the ball. I think they played a major factor in this game, despite, you know, Travis Kelce being Travis Kelce. But those running backs really hit home. But the big story was the officials, was all the calls, the third down that got replayed, and then the penalty, and then the big penalty along the sideline that gave the Chiefs 15 extra yards to set them up for the game-winning field goal at the end of the game. What was your just overall thought of the officials' mess and then the game itself?
I don't want to be an official because they're the pros and easy for us to criticize, but we ask our players and coaches to be at their best, and we expect the game officials and broadcasters as well, because I got news for you. The color commentary in that game sucked.
Oh, and I'm more than sucked.
It was amateur hour. It felt like a former quarterback ill prepared for that broadcast. It did. And it brings the whole thing down. And I like Tony. I do. We'll get to that. But I was shocked because the energy has changed. The approach to it's changed. And if you listened early, Greg Olsen made that game listenable on a game that wasn't, that there was no quarterback. They had no shot, but we'll get to that. The referees, listen, they have a job to do and to do it well. And I thought they were horseshit. I did. Now, it's not an easy gig. I understand that. And I'm not a hater against officials or referees. But in games like that, you can't miss stuff that's blatantly obvious. And they miss some. They left their flag in their pocket, and some they threw. And you're like, what are you doing? Like on an interference call that shouldn't have been called interference in the left flat. I don't think they had it in for the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't think the call on Mahomes out of bounds getting hit was wrong. That was the right call. It was for the guy who played the best, Osai played the best. He was the best defense player on the field for them that night.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it got overshadowed by one play that was controllable and you just can't do. Even though he's going hard and he'll overcome it, and teammates need to put their arm around him, and they did and they will, but you just can't do it because that game would have ended up in overtime unless a guy can kick a 55 or 60-yard field goal, and I don't think Butker would have made it because he barely made the one he kicked. And that with 8 seconds to go, you can't throw the ball inbounds or inside that numbers or hash marks because, well, you won't be able to get lined up. So even if they got 5 yards, that, you know, bottom line is it didn't get done by Cincinnati. I didn't think the officials were any good in the game in a lot of the calls. If you were judging them on the championship games and the winning combo got the Super Bowl, that ain't the combo that gets the Super Bowl, if that was the case. And as far as this overall performance, you're right. Burrow's flashes of brilliance and made a few throws that he would like to have back. Mm-hmm. The offensive line looked like everybody feared. They didn't want him to look like, kind of like the Super Bowl last year in the pass protection. Chris Jones is a monster. He's guy's a beast. And Mahomes looked like he was about 95%. That didn't look to me like he was the ankle on it. If it was an incomplete pass, the ankle didn't hamper him a bit. And he did what he always does, makes phenomenal plays at the right time. And I think the most underrated part of this Super Bowl is that running game. And I somehow finding Pacheco without, I mean, the guy's a monster.
Seventh round pick, right?
Oh, yeah. The guy is, you don't even need to worry about drafting a running back this year. The guy's that good. I mean, he is, you can land, and he has effort, and he punishes you. That may be a factor in the Super Bowl game, because I got news for you. If you thought the Cincinnati Bengals could play some defense, whoa, this front seven in Philadelphia is a whole different egg now. So this is going to be a hell of a matchup.
Yeah, and just looking to the other game, you mentioned Pacheco, and McKinnon is the third down back that can catch anything out of the backfield in the way he plays. We look to the other game. Everyone's going to look to the injuries. Josh Johnson or Brock Purdy first knocked out, tears his UCL, you know, goes to throw a ball, gets hit by Hassan Reddick, and just tears the UCL there on the throw and has to come out of the game. Josh Johnson comes in, ends up getting himself injured, hits his head off the turf, gets taken out. And their only choice was to bring Brock Purdy back in. Well, they say their only choice was to bring Brock Purdy back in and basically hand the ball off. I think, did he throw one pass or two passes? I don't even remember how many he threw once he came back in.
He came in and threw a screen. It was maximum two, but he threw a screen and he might have thrown one more, but that was it.
Right.
And the rest was just handoff. They had no shot.
I mean, so some people were saying, you know, why are you not at least trying McCaffrey, who is their emergency quarterback, or Juwan Jennings, who was a top 10 recruit in the nation as a high school quarterback coming out and then went to Tennessee and turned into a wide receiver. I don't know what those answers are, and that's Kyle Shanahan's to make. They had no shot in this game without a quarterback. I mean, Philly didn't even really do anything special. They kind of just got some turnovers, got some points, and the best player on the field in that game was Hassan Reddick. He wrecked that game in almost multiple ways. And once those quarterbacks, once Purdy came out, Reddick set his sights on Johnson, and it was over at that moment, as soon as Brock Purdy went down.
Listen, when you're on the road against what has been the most complete team in the league all year long, the Philadelphia Eagles, in a hostile environment, and man alive for Johnson, it's not easy. But that's why you get paid. You got to go in there. But 13 teams in 10 years.
Yeah.
And I know three stints with San Francisco, it wasn't going to happen. I mean, you could tell he did not want to push the ball down the field, didn't want to hold it long. They were playing horizontal football. And it's not disrespectful to him. When you're not getting much work and you're the scout team quarterback and you're going into what is a horrible place to when the team's that good and the crowd, all that, I can imagine he was a little uptight in that game. But even then, when Purdy got hurt, the game was over. Mm-hmm. Unless you got defensive score, blocked a punt. I mean, it was going to end. And DeMeco Ryan's defense kept him in the game. I mean, they hung around for a minute. They tried to, you know, they were. But you just limited in Philadelphia. Jonathan Gannon didn't need to show anything,
right?
As they get ready for the Super Bowl, you just line up and you could do base stuff, turn your guys loose, and they go get the quarterback anyway, 70 plus all year long, and they had no answer. Listen, they may not have beat Philadelphia with Purdy, but I guarantee it would have been a better game and a better challenge and a better matchup. But the Philadelphia Eagles, they know, we all know, the 49ers, it's a bummer because we didn't get to see the best of both.
Yeah,
we didn't get to see the best game. Yeah, it was. We didn't get to. Now, Philadelphia, listen, their job is to minimize anything you can for the 49ers in a legal, physical way, and they did. And it's unfortunate that it happened. Injuries happen, but and heard today that Purdy, it's not just it's going to require surgery. He's going to be out a year, and that now shapes the quarter that the quarterback situation now is odd.
Trey Lance has to be, you know, kind of.
Yep.
Ooh, thank
you. That's right. That's right. Yeah, you don't wish for it, but you're like, okay, right. I got another opportunity. Now
here's my opportunity
coming out of my injury, right? Yep. So, I thought, you know, Philadelphia, all they had to do is base stuff, and they made some enough plays and. You'll see a lot more of that stuff against the Kansas City Chiefs, and they'll have to play to their best against Mahomes. But it was over, and I just wish I could have seen the 49ers at their best to see what this would have turned out to look like.
And, you know, before I get to my next point, it just seems like this 49ers team, they always seem to have injury or injuries. I mean, Nick Bosa got banged up on just a dumb, you know, play on a, what was a punt return. Where a guy kind of flung another player out.
Yeah, he was on a sideline.
Yeah, he was on the sideline. He wasn't even in the play, kind of tweaked his knee, and you could see it kind of bothering him throughout the game. And he's still one of the best players on the field, if not the best player on the field when he's out there. But it's just San Francisco's like the Chargers. They just there's always an injury that holds them back, it feels like. They had their one shot in that Super Bowl with Jimmy G, and him and Shanahan fell apart in the fourth quarter. And since then it's been injuries, and they're so damn talented. They just can't do it. But tell me this, the one thing I hated in that Philadelphia San Francisco game was from the Eagles. You're up big. They don't have a quarterback. They can't pass the ball more than a yard. And Philly was still out there running Jalen Hurts, who's been banged up with a shoulder. And you know, I'm sitting at a buddy's house and I'm just like, what are they doing? Why is this guy running the football when you know you're going to the Super Bowl in 2 weeks? But there he is, continually running, continually taking hits. He got down a few, but he took some hits. And I'm just like,
hand the ball off, hand the ball off, or throw screens and go home.
Right.
Yeah. Mix in the short passing game, throw the slant, get out of the game and go home. Because, I mean, listen, you don't want to see anybody hurt, but you can imagine what the energy was like at halftime, knowing that this is a whole different game plan than we needed to go in with. Now I know part of it, Segs, may have very well been that Hurts, who'd been injured for a lot of the last part of the season, right, to get him into a rhythm, knowing that we're still going to have 2 weeks to go. I would have done it a different way. I'm not sure I would have had him run the inside zone and pull it, drop back and throw it so he gets a feel for it. But, you know, listen, who's to argue with what that staff and that coaching staff and that head coach have done this year? But I would have probably approached it a little different, because it was going to take something off the chart special to beat that team.
Yes,
without Purdy. It just was, you know, 7-0 going in. So, and you know, not only Sakes injuries, but have you noticed that if it's not injuries at the quarterback position, it's one missed throw when a guy's open. It's the quarterback position. Matt Ryan getting sacked 28-3 when he's the offensive coordinator in a Super Bowl. Jimmy missing a wide open touchdown throw against the Chiefs, going 3 of 11. You know, then four quarterbacks during the season. Good gracious. Kyle's probably saying, can I borrow John Elway from you, Dad, and bring him out from back in the day when he won a couple in Denver? So you feel bad for him. Listen, it's football, and that's unfortunate. That's why you got to have a full roster. I think we need three quarterbacks, because the NFL does not want to see a running back. We got to leave that rule, even if it's for the postseason. But we're the third. I would leave it all season long for active. Even though he's inactive, he can play if two guys are hurt. Right. So we just didn't get to see the best. But you know what? I'm sure Philly fans in Philly think they were going to win anyway, because it would have taken a hell of an effort to beat him. So the 2-1 seeds, the NFL's pissing themselves getting to see this at the Philadelphia market and the Eagles. And Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes back in a Super Bowl. You know they love this shit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's set up perfect. And 2 14-3 teams, the two of the three teams we all thought were the best, two of the four teams we all thought were the best, mainly throughout the season. So good for the NFL. I mean, the last thing they wanted was the 49ers to somehow, some way win that football game.
Well, if the 49ers did, what do they – you tell me how they're lining up. What are they doing?
I have no idea. I have no idea. Well, I mean, there's the talk that Jimmy G would have been ready, or at least somewhat ready, that maybe
if he didn't even suit up for this one, it would have probably taken then you're dealing with Jimmy at a kind of a unfortunate, maybe not fully healthy thing.
Probably 70%.
So either that. So, I mean, do you jump out there and say, I mean, do you sign a guy who was out of football that didn't play?
I think they would have had to sign somebody.
Oh, of course they would.
You know, as at least a backup to Jimmy.
No question about it. I mean, it made you long for the Nate Mullins and Beathard, you know, right? When they were there. So,
yeah,
they got, and the NFL deserved to see two healthy quarterbacks and two healthy teams. And Mahomes will be 100% by then, too. So,
oh, yeah. This is going to be a very fun game, and we'll have plenty of time to talk about it over the next week and a half or so. But we woke up to some breaking news this morning. The GOAT has retired on February 1st again. He did it last year. We all know he came back, but this year feels different. This year feels
real.
Like this was a drag this year. I think it really showed him that, you know, he's getting older. I don't know that there's the team that's set waiting for him unless he could have went to San Francisco, but I don't even know if they would have done that. It would have been interesting to see, you know, we've talked about the Raiders, him possibly going there with Josh McDaniels, but Tom Brady has decided to retire. And I think that kind of shakes up the quarterback landscape in terms of the NFL right now, because what
also
could have happened this offseason?
There's a lot of them that are going to need him. And say, I'm not shocked by this. I mean, I'm not even taken aback. I thought he was going to play again. I did. Mm-hmm. I thought he'd go one more.
Yeah, we've talked about it.
And I could tell you already, Aaron Rodgers ain't retiring. They're not going to retire in the same year. So Rodgers said he's going to make his decision. He's coming back to play. It's a matter of, is he playing in Green Bay or somewhere else? Because I don't see those two sharing a stage 5 years from now at the Hall of Fame. Just a hunch. So whether they think about it or not, I think I do. And I just think that Tom's decision, if Aaron was even contemplating it, Aaron Rodgers is going to play again. I still think he feels like he needs to get another one in some unfinished business. And that's fair, even though for a guy who's had a Hall of Fame career. With Brady, you know how I feel. He's the best football player we've ever had. He's the best quarterback, obviously. He's 23 years of grind. We call this a bad season for him when they were so up and down. The dude threw for just 4,700 yards.
Yeah.
And 25 touchdowns and less than 10 picks. I think 9 picks this year, which for him
was
like,
what a terrible season.
Yeah, there's big guys standing in line for that season most of the time, right? So you felt like, well, he still had game. I think it comes down to this. First off, the offseason was the off the field stuff rough on him this year. Very rough, and can't blame him. I mean, that's all. That's difficult to deal with at any time in your life, right? And then then the expectations of what we think about Brady when he's playing, we always expect him to play great.
Right.
And then now a new team and a new grind. If you just, I believe that if Brady, this is just me, if you should have said, we got I Dream a Genie and you can, you know, crinkle your nose and we'll show up and rub the belly and you get to make a wish and you could just show up and be past training camp and open for the first game and your body is exactly the same as it was when you're at peak condition before last season, I think he'd played because I think he loves competition. Matter of fact, I know he does. But the offseason grind to get ready again, to put all that time in so you can – because Brady doesn't want to go out, Segs, going 15 touchdowns and 12 picks in his last year. You know, this for him, I guarantee, is bad enough. And yet, I mean, come on. He had to – if he's not in there, who's – with the inconsistency of that team – who the hell knows what he went on with that? They wouldn't have made the playoffs by any stretch of the
for sure.
As a matter of fact, they'd probably be a top five pick. I honestly, that's the truth. Mm-hmm. So this is the best player ever. I mean, we'll be talking about this for a while, so we don't need to empty the bucket now. But it was real today because he was very, I mean, to the point, casual. I love the fact that some insider didn't break it, that we got to hear it from him. So he didn't find out, somebody tweeting it out. Good for him. I'm sure it's time for family. I'm sure he's preparing for his broadcast career and the next stage. And after 23 years, shit, I can't blame him. And here we are. I thought he'd play one more. I didn't think he was done last year, but that was open-ended. He had never really closed the book. This one, he'd be a mockery if he came back now. People they'd say, come on, man.
Right.
Stop this. You're not doing this. So this is it for him.
We still talk about Brett Favre and all the shit he pulled. And you know, Aaron Rodgers is starting to get that a little bit. Now, Aaron Rodgers has not retired yet, but for the last three off seasons, it's been, well, is Aaron going to retire? Is Aaron going to retire? And now here we are this season. Is Aaron going to retire, or is he going to request a trade, or is he going to, you know, the Jets are the hot name for Aaron Rodgers because you know, there's been reports saying that the Packers don't want him in the NFC. Obviously the Raiders are going to be a hot topic because that's where Devontae Adams is. and get those two back together. The quarterback, you know, and the big thing for the, we talk about the Raiders, your team, your favorite team, with Derek Carr. Reports came out that they're not allowing him to look for a trade yet. And I don't know if that's because they were waiting to see what Brady's going to do. They're waiting to see what Rodgers is going to do. I mean, they may sit back and say, well, I know we're sitting at 7 in the draft. Maybe we could do a massive trade with the Bears and get to 1 and pick our young quarterback of the future. Or do we just stick with Derek Carr for another year and see what happens and maybe things get better between McDaniels and Carr and the system gets to him a little more and they have more success. But if you're a Raiders fan, I mean, you tell me, how do you feel about this situation with Derek Carr?
And I am a Raiders fan. That would be like, okay, we got a legal separation. All we got to do is sign the divorce papers. And then somehow you wake up one day and say, well, let's not sign it. I'm not all in and going back to the wife or the husband, but I'm going to go back. And that usually never works, right? When you hear couples that have done that, right? I mean, maybe sometimes it does. And Carr already said his goodbyes.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
To go back, can you imagine? Well, I think the deadline for it to be fully guaranteed is the 15th of February.
Yes. Yes.
And what you could do when people say it doesn't mean guaranteed that he's going back to the Raiders. It means that contract's guaranteed. So if somebody trades for him, he's getting that contract, that money, no matter what, wherever he goes. So the deadline isn't, well, you got to get rid of him by then. The deadline is, and they're not going to cut him because you got to go get an asset, of course, right? So at first you're saying, what are they waiting on? Well, they're covering their ass. They got to see how it's moving around. I think he's going to be gone, Segs. You know what I'm saying? He'll get paid somewhere. I mean, now that Tampa's open, maybe it's Tampa, unless they like Kyle Trask. New Orleans Saints. And all these guys, we're talking, the Jets are looking. The Saints are looking. The Tampa Bay is either looking or believes in Trask. But I got to,
you know who I think
should
be the team that goes and gets Derek Carr?
Raiders. Well, yeah, who?
To me, I think it's Carolina, the Commanders. Too. I think the Commanders.
Commanders.
I think that's a team that has talent, that has money. I think, you know, Ron
good
Rivera.
Defense.
Yeah, I think he's the type of quarterback that fits them. And it's not a Carson Wentz type move that Indy made or the Phillip Rivers at the end of the year. Derek Carr still has a lot of talent. And they have offensive talent there in Washington.
Yes.
Led by Terry McLaurin at wide receiver. So
and
I think
they know they're going to get after it. He hasn't played on a team with a great defense either.
And the Commanders are not a top 10 pick. They don't have the ammo to jump to 3 or 1 to get, unless they just give up a massive haul of picks.
And they
got to
get this right, Segs.
Yes.
And remember, Del Rio coached Derek Carr, so he's in that organization and can give you all the updated stuff you need.
And if, yeah, exactly.
About
and if
Carr,
you're Ron,
about how he feels about him, right?
If you're Rivera, you have to win. You can't
or
just sit back and say, oh, we're going to go get a rookie quarterback. And that's, to me, the spot that makes the most sense.
Yeah, his no question. And they were close to making it this year. Making the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
If Wentz doesn't do, if they win the last game, they're in.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't win the last game. And it's not just Wentz, but they couldn't. He did not play well in that game either. So, Ron Rivera and, quite frankly, and the staff, their job depends on a quarterback that can get them to the playoffs.
Yes.
That's just the cold, hard reality of it. So, is it, when you think about the guys that would be available or opportunity to get, even whether long shot or not, Rodgers, if you wanted to get in that fray, but do you have the ammo to get him? The answer to that probably would be no right now, but maybe. Garoppolo, Derek Carr. You're not interested in like Jameis Winston or Andy Dalton.
Right,
Brady,
right.
Brady's out of the mix. There's no Carson Wentz. I can't imagine that you think that he's going to save your job right now. It really comes down to that, Segs. It really does. Now, if Purdy was healthy, if Brock Purdy was healthy and you decided that he was your future, you could simply see if Trey Lance would have been in Washington's mix, right?
Right. That
so there's
sense.
That. And if the Packers, which I don't think they are, were in the Aaron Rodgers business and keeping him, it's stale. I think it's time for a change. I guess you'd finally say, well, if we're not going to do this Jordan Love thing, maybe we finally got to move him. But I think it's flip-flop. I think they're more apt to keep Love and move Rodgers. But like you said, the Jets, what are the Giants going to do? Are they sticking with Daniel Jones? If not, he's available and you see him in the same division. So there's a lot of question marks out there And like I said, I mentioned the New Orleans Saints, their need. So Washington Carr's got to be the best available, right?
Yeah.
I mean, as far as numbers and the rest of it, maybe not. You're not going to win a Super Bowl right now with him, but you get to January and he'll put up good numbers.
Yeah.
He'll work. He'll work.
You have a much better chance with a Derek Carr than, in my opinion, like a Jimmy Garoppolo or a,
or a
Trey Lance
quarterback.
Exactly.
Right. Guy learning a system. I would agree. And like I said, Jack, they'll do their due diligence, but Jack coached him when Derek Carr was an MVP candidate. If you remember when he broke his leg and then they had to go to Houston and Connor Cook had to be the quarterback that day. And that year Carr was on his way to, if not winning it, top three guys. So we'll see, but Washington feels like a good fit.
And they do have a young quarterback in Sam Howell that at least showed something at the end of the season that, you know, maybe they can work off of, and maybe he's not ready to be the full-time starter now, but if you go get a Derek Carr and you see how it works for a year and Sam Howell continues to build his resume, or if he gets a shot next year at some point and shows that maybe he is the guy moving, then you can go with that. But I think Rivera has to go get a quarterback.
Yeah. Well, Frank Reich, the Colts need one too. We forgot about that, Segs, but
yeah,
if the Colts are going to draft one, I would imagine, I would think, and depending on who their coach is, and Frank Reich in Carolina, I don't know. Does Frank think Sam Darnold is that guy?
It feels like to me, you've got the Houston Texans, the Indianapolis Colts. I still
Tennessee
think that the Seattle Seahawks are still a dark horse for a draft, a quarterback guy. Even if they franchise Geno and let Geno play.
Can.
Yes, exactly.
Do both.
You have the Raiders sitting at 7. You have the Carolina Panthers sitting at 9. And you just mentioned them, the Tennessee Titans sitting at 11. I think
and the Saints don't have a first round. Well, they're going to get it back now, but that's late. That's later with the Packers.
Yeah,
because they're getting it back with. Is it 23rd, say?
Or 23rd, maybe it was.
They're getting that somewhere in that range, but they're getting that back from the Sean Payton deal, the first-rounder that the Philadelphia Eagles. How about that? You're the number one seed, and you win 14 games, and your ass gets a top-10 pick.
Exactly.
But it's good to be them, right? So,
So
you're right, and the Saints, who got to jump in. There's a lot that need them. The question is, who's got the ammo to go get the young guys up top, and which coaches covet this player compared to that player? Frank Reich knows how important a quarterback is to his system. Why? Because two quarterbacks that were really good pros, but at the end of the rope and weren't there, it helped cost him his job. So they got to find
somebody. Who's just sitting back, kind of, you know, rubbing their hands together, has got to be the Chicago Bears and Ryan Poles.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I just named six teams from 2 to 11 that, you know, if you're the Bears, you're looking and kind of gauging, you know, what the senior
you're in striking distance to have the weapons to get up there. Right?
Exactly. You know, if you look at, you know, a guy, whoever, the defensive end from Texas Tech, the Wilson kid, if you look at him and say, okay, we can drop to 9, get first round picks for the next few years, plus seconds and thirds and just a monster haul for number one. And we can get that kid at 9. We love him. I mean, you do that. You go to 4.
Right.
You just flip flop with Houston if you want. So there's a lot, and we'll get into that as, you know, the Senior Bowl's going, then we'll have the combine and a lot of time for draft talk. But the Chicago Bears sit in a very envious spot for a lot of teams because
what's the talk around there, Segs? What is the local talk being you're in that area? I mean, we hear the national talk and everybody, all our speculation. They're not trading Fields. Okay?
No, that,
right? They're not. Okay. So what's the local? Who's the body they covet, and are they more apt to get out or stay there if they love somebody at once?
I'm not going to say 100. I think 98% chance Ryan Poles trades the pick. How far down?
That would be my guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, you have to get more assets. You're not a team that's ready to win. You need as many assets for the future and this year as possible. They have like $98 million, and that's before they cut anybody in free agency. So they're going to go wild. Like,
and the only way you're trading up to one is for the quarterback, right?
Oh, yes. 100%.
I know that Anderson mentioned and Jalen Carter, but you're only trading up for the quarterback.
Yes. So the two names you just hit right there, Anderson and Carter, Will Anderson from Alabama, Jalen Carter from Georgia. Those are the two names everybody wants. Obviously, they're probably the two best players in this draft, offense or defense, in my opinion. Jalen Carter, because, you know, everybody thinks, Oh, Matt Eberflus there in Indy had a good defense, and who was his game wrecker? DeForest Buckner right there at that three technique, and a lot of people see that from Jalen Carter. Then everybody
The Chris Joneses and the Aaron Donalds, the interior guys being able to go inside and outside and do both.
Right,
now.
Fletcher
it's
Cox.
It's become an in vogue thing in the NFL.
Right, but then a lot of people look at Will Anderson, and you know, people have said, oh, he's the next Khalil Mack, and we all know how people love Khalil Mack in Chicago. There's talk that Khalil Mack could be cut, and we already have Bears fans saying bring him back. So it's one of those things. But to me personally, I think the Bears have to be looking at, you're going to go nuts in free agency because you have to. You have to hit that cap floor, and you have so much money to spend. So you're going to bring impact players in. You need a big impact player from this draft. But if you can get picks for first round picks for 24, maybe even 25, you do it. You trade down. If you got to go to 9 to do it, if you got to go to 7, if Indy gets desperate and says we need to jump Houston to get young Levis or Stroud, then you do that and you tell them, I need your first round picks the next 2 years.
They
after
need volume.
This.
Chicago needs volume, like
right.
The Texans.
Yes.
They both need volume. The problem is the volume with the Texans includes a quarterback. The volume
right.
with the Bears doesn't. And that's a right. big, that's a big situation right now.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll get into that as we get going, but it's going to be fascinating to see how the Bears work this in a young, inexperienced GM and Ryan Poles that, you know, hasn't been in this spot before. He didn't have
first big moves for him.
Yes. The massive offseason for Ryan Poles. Then the other big news that we had the last couple of days, Sean Payton goes to the Broncos. We still have not seen a contract. Sounds like it's going to be 5-6 years, $20+ million a year. So in that range. And then we got D'Amico Ryans to Houston. The trade for Sean Payton was a first this year, the pick we referenced, a second next year for Sean Payton, and a third round next year. So that's the full trade, and we'll see how it works. I don't know. Sean Payton must have a good feeling about Russell Wilson to take this job, because this feels like maybe his last chance, or maybe his last hurrah himself, just saying, I got one more go in me in the NFL. Let's see how long it lasts. But if Russell Wilson comes out and is Russell Wilson from last year, I don't know how long it lasts for him.
Well, that won't be good. I'm sitting here trying to fathom Russell Wilson playing as poorly as he did this year.
I can't imagine it. But damn,
honestly, with the
way
the ball
comes this
up,
year,
I agreed. So there can't. There's no way, right? They've got receivers. They've got a. Now, I don't know what Sean's going to do defensively, but they got a hell of a defensive coordinator there if he wants to interview him and keep him in Avero. And they've got a playoff caliber defense and did all year long. The offense just let him down. So you're not going into an empty cupboard. That's for sure. Now, Payton, like you said, 6 years at $20+ million. You know what I found interesting? Because I love Sean Payton and I know what he does with quarterbacks and offense. And I'm a fan and I know he wants power. You're not going to get as much as he probably wanted when this whole cycle started.
Right.
I talked to Ian Rappaport today, and you know, the reports about who was interested. Do you realize that he was not their first or second choice?
Right.
Which is, I said, is that a slap in the face to Sean? He goes, well, it's not a slap in the face, but to me, it kind of is, right? I mean,
right.
He took the job. It's almost like, well, we wanted D'Amico, who was the hottest, he became the hottest guy, and we'll hit Houston in a second for just a minute, but. And rightfully so. The guy has got every quality you need. But then they went back into the Harbaugh thing and wanted him. And then can you imagine, and I'm using these words in air quotes, settling for a guy that's going to get paid more than any coach in NFL, maybe not named Belichick.
Yeah.
And he might even make more than him.
Yeah, I think he will.
I mean, we're in that range, right? So it's – and I would have taken it too if I was Sean Payton, because great franchise. They've got more money and they know what to do with. The Walmarts are the wealthiest ownership in this – in sports, maybe, I think, Segs.
Yeah,
I mean,
gotta be
what's
one
the
of
owner?
Them.
What's our name? What's Steve Ballmer and with the Clippers?
With the Clippers.
He got a lot of that money, but the overall mass of how many different family members are worth billions with the Walmart family, they got money. Listen, if you were going into this 2 years ago, you'd say, I got this team and you're giving me Russ Wilson?
Right.
Shit. And then you go into it this year and say, I got this team and ooh.
Yeah,
I hope this guy shows up and gives me a little more Russ Wilson, a lot less of this bullshit commercials and the cheesy stuff. and forcing leadership. Just go play, dude. That's the guy we know. Go play, Russ, and let Sean Payton take you to another level. You remember when Payton was in New Orleans, we speculated when Pete Carroll for a couple of years, is that a place that he would like to end up going? You remember that? So now here we are. So good hire. I love Sean Payton, but that position in that division, you better be pretty damn good at that position with Mahomes and Herbert playing that quarterback position in that division. So, but I think it's a really good hire for Sean Payton and D'Amico Ryans in Houston. He was the first choice by both of these teams. Actually, remember, canceled two interviews, so he may have been the first choice in four of these places. But leader, held in the highest regard, makes everybody around him better, took over for a hell of a coach in Robert Saleh and made the defense better. It helps that he has a bunch of fucking players, and that's good. But
yeah,
he took players and made them better. They didn't get, you know, some guys, the motivation, leadership, they love him here. He was a hell of a player at Alabama, a hell of a player here in Houston. It's the leadership and the ability to maximize ability and get people to maximize ability and get people to elevate their play is why Segs in Houston, it's the most excited this town's ever been since you were here. And Watson
for sure
came in at halftime, and that excitement when he first came here, it hasn't even sniffed it since. There's more energy in this city about this team than there has been in years.
Biggest hurdle. I don't want to use the word hurdle, but biggest thing for D'Amico Ryans is finding the right offensive coach to coach the right quarterback from this draft. And you know, I don't
know. Staff is hugely important. Yes. We always talk about the head coach, a good head coach with a bad staff, the head coach will get fired.
Right.
It's so huge for him to get the right
people. And they have to get this quarterback right. You know, if they love Will Levis, fine. You draft make him. Sure you get him.
Right.
If you have, you know, if you have to maybe overpay a little bit than you would like to get that quarterback to get to one with Chicago, do it. I mean,
I don't care who it is. If you love him, draft him. Right. If you love him, draft him, and let's let the coordinator and the quarterback coach go get this thing done right, and let D'Amico turn this defense around. I assure you they're going to tackle and play better. I can promise you that.
Yes, so we still have Arizona open, which who knows what's going on there. That's a shit show.
Supposedly, Segs, it's down to Kafka, Steichen, or Kafka, Steichen, or Jonathan Gannon.
Right.
That's the last three.
And then Indy. Again, Jim Irsay, you never know.
I take
Jim
that Irsay. Back. Yeah, the Arizona's with one. It was either, let's see, was it Kafka? You know, I take that back. It's not Jonathan Gannon going back, but I think he's still in the mix, even though he said he's going back.
Yeah, he said he's Steichen's going back.
Not right. Kafka's one. And I'll tell you who's coming to the fray late is both coordinators in Cincinnati, Brian Callahan, and Lou. They have come into the fray. I think it's those two that Rapp may have mentioned, but he threw Jonathan Gannon's name into the fray, even though he said he's going back. But if they make him the right offer, of course you go, right? But it was I think the two Cincinnati Bengals coordinators are starting to catch a little traction, and rightfully so.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see who those teams hit, but we'll talk about it as we get going and we get ready for the Super Bowl in a couple weeks. All right, that'll do it for this episode of the Sean Salisbury Show.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.